I want to share with you a thought from the Word of God. Something I've shared in time past. But when I left this house last Sunday, the Lord quickly brought me to this particular passage of Scripture and says, this is what I want you to talk about next Sunday. It is not very often that He talks to me that early to talk about something a week ahead. And so I have been meditating and thinking about this word that He has for you and for me today. When I first spoke this word to us, I titled it, The God of the Second Chance. I see no reason to change that title. But to say this, that God has something for somebody today. Will that be you? Amen. I'm going to be starting from a passage of Scripture that leads to what I want to talk about today. It's found in the book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Where the Word of God says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, if I tried to retell or read through all of the passages of Scripture, I will not be done today. So I am going to tell you as quickly as I can the story of Naaman. Naaman was a great man, as the Word of God teaches us here, tells us right there in the passage of Scripture. A great man, an honorable man, a man of war. He understood war. He understood what he needed to do. He was a great general. And not only was he a great leader, he was a great servant. He served his master well. The Bible tells us that not only was that true about him, it says that God used him. Come back with me to chapter 1, chapter 5 again and verse 1. It's something the Lord is saying to me to state to you. It says this. It says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was a great man with what? His master. He was a great man with? Jesus said, if you're going to be great, you've got to be a servant. Amen? So, he was a great man with his master, and secondly, he was honorable. Amen? He was what? And this is a clincher. He says he was honorable because. Someone say because. He was honorable because. Wow. By him the Lord had given deliverance. As far as God is concerned, honor is about your service. Honor is in your service and what God is using you to do. That God's hand is upon your life to do anything is a sign of honor. To be chosen to serve. Somebody listening? To be chosen to serve is an act of honor. From God. Not everyone is chosen. Many are called. Few are chosen. So for God to choose you and you are able to serve the purposes of God is a declaration of honor upon your life. Amen? Someone say I'm chosen. Someone say, I am a person of honor because I serve God and I serve His purposes. I serve His people. I am honorable. Somebody shout hallelujah. Anyhow, during the course of one of these battles, the Bible tells us that he contracted leprosy. Might have woken up one day and scratching somewhere, wound developed, another part of his body started becoming numb, and he was not feeling any pain. He had leprosy. Now, when you have leprosy, you are not meant to be in contact with people. But there is a place where you've got a problem, and because you are blessed, your problem becomes small. The Bible says that Jesus went into the home of Judas's father. The Bible says that Jesus went and was having dinner, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all there in the home of a leper. You see, money talks. Hello? You can have all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, but if you've got money, people will vote for you. That was a low blow. But that is the reality of life. Money answered all things. This man was a man of honor, was very successful at what he did, and therefore he continued to be general. During the course of one of his battles, he had brought home a young girl, a maiden from Israel. And this girl was watching the master and noticed that he had leprosy. Went to her mistress and said to her mother, "If only he went to Israel, his leprosy would be solved. This problem would be solved. I have an answer for his problem." Now, wait a minute. Who are we talking about? And which God are we talking about? And to which nation are we talking about that he must go? She's telling him about Israel. The Bible says in verse 2, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. There is a prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." There is an answer. It's right there. In Samaria, there's a prophet there. Wait a minute. Are you talking about the people we defeated? Yes. But the answer is there. "And I may have been brought from where I was to your house so that I can bring an answer to your problem." You are an answer to somebody's problem somewhere. You may not know why you came there, why you are working there, why you are doing whatever it is you are doing there, but God brought you where you are for a reason. You are not here by accident. There's an answer that you've got that I need. There's an answer that I have that you need. Somebody has an answer for you today. Hallelujah. There's an answer. So here is this young girl says, if only she goes. If only he goes. And so Naaman goes to his king and says, As you know, I'm a leper. And there's no cure for this. But I understand there is an answer in Samaria. So the king of Syria, the Bible says, and the king of Syria, verse 5, said, go to go. That's a good one. Go to go. Someone say, go to go. You see, because there are many places that there's no go to. There is a place that you have to start from that gets you to your destiny. You may have driven almost an hour to get here, but this is your go-to-go place. Amen? You know, there are people who make decisions on life based on proximity. Or I'm going to go to this church because it's close to my house. Close to your house doesn't mean that's where you're supposed to go. You're supposed to go to the place called go. Hallelujah. You got to go to what? Go. The Bible says, he said, go to go. Hallelujah. Go to go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. That's lots of stuff. And he goes. But he's going to the king of Israel. But the king of Israel is not the go place. The statement was, there is a prophet. And the man is thinking, well, in my culture, as king, I am God. So, the king of Israel must be the prophet there. It's a lie. Jesus was not in Herod's palace. He was born in a manger. Amen? And the mistake that people make in life is that they point to natural principles as their answer. No, your answer is a spiritual answer. It is in the mouth of the prophet. It is not in the king. It's in the mouth of your prophet. Amen? Listen. When the prophet of God in your life speaks to you and says something to you, run with it. Amen? Run with it. Don't wrap your head around it and try to make sense of it. Just do and battle with the prophetic word that has been spoken. A prophetic word was given to you. You grab a hold of that and you rehearse it back with God and you say it to your circumstance. You know what we do many times? We try to find old solutions. What worked before. The prophet does not care about what worked before. He's talking about what God wants to do. Grab a hold of it and run with that. Amen? This morning, very early, I was here and talking to the Lord, and I said something to the Lord and that shocked me. And for the world of me, I could not remember any of the times that this has happened. And what I had said to God was, I have never doubted you. And I stopped. I said, hold it, hold it. You must have doubted God. And if I have doubted God any time God said something to me, he must have erased it from my mind. Because I'm struggling to think about when I doubted God, and I could not find a time that God said something to me and I doubted what he said. There must be somewhere, because it's not normal. But God must have erased it. He says, no, you didn't doubt me that time. you didn't doubt me that time. But God, you didn't doubt me that. He's erased it. And so now I have a strong place to stand and say, God, I have never doubted you. And it reminded me of a statement that my papa made a few years ago. He said, I have never disobeyed God. And I said, get out of here. What do you mean you've never disobeyed God? God told you something and you disobeyed him. Sure, you did. No, the man says, I have never disobeyed God. And he's repeated it. And when I said to God today, I have never doubted you, and I could not remember one moment that I've doubted God, I said, maybe that's what he was saying. God has erased it. God said something, and you hold on to it, and you live with it, and you keep on reminding God, God, you said, God, you said, God, you said. Why are you saying, God, you said? Because you know what God said, and you have not shaken away from it. Not to the left, not to the right. And today God is saying to every one of us, it is time to believe again. It is time to say what he said before again. Prophesy again. Whatever it is God said to you, don't let go of it. Hold on to it and say, God, you said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has spoken. So anyway, Naaman goes to whoever the letter was written to, king. And the guy freaks out. Starts tearing his clothes off. This man is trying to find problems with me. He's trying to start another fight. He's upset. But while he is upset, the man who was to be the answer, God spoke to him. And he sent word to the king and says to the king, King, why are you tearing your clothes off? Why are you so upset about all of this? Send that man to me. This is my problem, not yours. You see, people who cannot solve your problem will freak out when you tell them about your problem. The people that have an answer for you will celebrate the goodness of God in the land of the living and tell you what your answer is going to be. Amen? It may not make sense to you in the natural, but it is God's answer, and God's answer is always the best answer. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he comes to the prophet of God. And the prophet of God does not come out. Doesn't come out, but sends him a word and says to him, go wash yourself in the Jordan. Go wash yourself in the Jordan. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. This was the answer. Go wash yourself in the Jordan. And what does Naaman do? He's upset. The Bible says that Naaman was wroth and went away. And behold, he says, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought. You know, that's the problem. Many times we think too much. You think this is how God is going to solve your problem, and God has his own way of solving your problem. I thought, and he's upset, and he leaves. Very upset, very angry. I didn't get my answer. But thank God for good servants that stand beside great men. His servant comes alongside and says, boss, he's not asking you to do any great thing. Sure, we have Abana and Farfar, and these are better looking waters and streams and rivers, and sure you can go wash, but that's not what the man said. The man said, go to the Jordan. The issue is, listen, the issue is not that you obeyed the instruction in terms of dipping yourself inside the water. The issue is the place where you dipped yourself in the water. You know, sometimes people take the money God has given to them to sow in a particular place, and they go and they think there's a better ministry to go sow that money. And they go sow it there, and it returns zero. If God says Jordan, it means Jordan. If God says Glory and Peace Church, that's exactly what it means. Glory and Peace Church. It does not mean this big ministry over there, or that big ministry over there, or that church over there, or this wherever place. It means where he said. Amen? Because where God said is your go-to place. Go to go. In James, it says, go to now. Hallelujah. Because there's a now place. There's a go place. So he finally comes in, and the servant says, just do it. Just do it. Turn to your neighbor and says, just do what God says. Amen. God already knows about Farfar and Abana. He knows about those places before he told you Jordan. He knows about that ministry and that ministry and that ministry before he told you here. The God who spoke to you said, go to Glory and Peace Church. That's where he told you to go to. Oh, well, but it's in the north end. So what? What's your problem? If God says go to the wilderness, that's where John is, that's where you go. You go to Jerusalem, he's not there. He is in the wilderness. Great ideas of men. And God is calling every one of us to make the right decisions now. It's not about distance. It's not about how beautiful. It's not about any of that. It is where he has chosen. And he chose a manger about 2,000 years ago, not Herod's palace. He chose a place called Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. Wouldn't it have been amazing for him to for Jesus to just be born, you know? Mary goes to Jerusalem, and when she gets to Jerusalem, she's visiting the temple, and all of a sudden, crap, I'm baby born right on Mount Moriah. That would have been perfect. But no, God says Bethlehem. Why? Because that's the house of bread, because he is the bread of life. Where God chooses, that's the place. Amen. So he goes and he dips himself inside that Jordan. He goes in first time, still a leper. Second time, still a leper. Third time, still a leper. Fourth time, still a leper. I can see him trying to come out and saying to his servant, I'm going to kill you. You are dead meat. You made me to take my clothes off, to expose my leprosy, to get inside this dirty water. You are dead. And if, oh, Master, please. He said seven times. Five, six, nothing. Oh, yes. Seven. Every time he goes, the seventh time, the man is on his horse, taking off already. That's exactly what I'll do. Take off before he comes out of that place. Oh, but the man of God said seven times. And when he came out the seventh time, I know he was not looking at his skin. I know he was not looking to check out whether it worked. I know he was coming out to get that servant of his. And when he was coming out, He sees his hat. Hey? What? Hallelujah! 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 That's exactly what's about to happen to somebody in this house today. Your miracle is already released to you. Come forth in Jesus. I say, come forth in Jesus' name. I say, come forth. Kerebashakalaba. Reboshake rebasakaya. Hey, Moseke reboshake. Reketete basa. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he's healed. And he goes back to the prophet of God with all of his resources, all the things he came to bless the man of God with. When he gets there, the man of God rejects them. What? I brought all of this. Is it like it's not enough? I can bring some more. The man of God says, no, no, keep your stuff. Take it home. What do you mean, take it home? I don't want any. I don't want it. You know, there are some offerings that you must reject. You didn't hear what I said. I said there are some offerings that you have to reject. Mama, do you remember the time somebody came and gave us a check for $20,000? Says, this is for you. It is not for the church. This is for you. I'm sure you remember this. This is for you. I said, no. Put it in the offering. But I want to give it to you. I said, no, no, no. Put it in the offering. You're going to be receipted for this. Do I need 20,000? Absolutely. Do I need 100,000? Absolutely. Do I need 1,000,000? Absolutely. Do I need 1,000,000,000? Absolutely. Oh, but there are some times that you got to say no. By the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every decision you make based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've gone to places where they gave me a large offering and I just turn it over. As it's coming to my hand, I'm giving it to somebody. Sometimes it's the pastor. This is not for me. This is for you. But we've got to take care of you. Oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. How am I going to take care of myself? Well, God is the sender. And God is the keeper. Amen? God is the provider. Hallelujah. That way, no, you are not owing anybody. Amen? Hallelujah. Trump couldn't be bought. He funded his own stuff. I think I'm going to be talking about Trump a lot. Did you know that God spoke to Mama about Trump being president? He didn't speak to me about it. So I said nothing. She kept on talking about Trump is going to be president. I said, it better be, because if it's not. And she's telling people, I saw him. I saw the backside, the man with the golden hair. I said, there's no corner out of this one. You miss this, you missed it. I tell you, she was calm as and cool. As, you know, and I'm getting, oh my God, Trump has already said another thing. Oh my God, what did he just say now? Now he's not going to be president. Oh my God, they're going to call my wife a false prophet. Oh my God. Oh. No, but when the prophet speaks, it's spoken. Hallelujah. There's no doubt in it. Amen. There's no doubt in it. No, I did not doubt what she said. You know, this is what God showed to you. That's what God has shown to you. We just look forward and see what the miracle. So all I could say is, if this man wins, this is going to be the hand of God. It's a miracle. Because you cannot explain it away. Amen. You cannot explain it. This man cannot be winning and becoming the president of the United States, not on basis of natural laws. No. No. It cannot happen. But did it happen? Absolutely. Why? God said. Amen? God said. That's why. So he rejects all of the offering. But there was somebody watching. His name is Gehazi. Gehazi, in verse 20 of chapter 5, he says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take something, somewhat of him.'" He cannot be going away free like that. He's got to pay something. He's got to give something. Here we are praying. Oh God, the Bible school students need food. Some of them are broke. One of them, they almost took his children away. The man brings lots of money, lots of clothes. You're sending the guy away. And we've been praying, fasting. Forget that. Forget that. My fasting shall not be in vain. Oh no, I'm collecting mine. I got my portion out of this thing. You don't want yours? I'm collecting mine. I swear. That's what I said. I swear it. I'm going to get mine. So he takes off. And the man says, verse 21, "So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, 'Is all well? Is everything okay?' And he said, 'Yeah, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim to young men of the sons of the prophets.'" That's a Bible school. "Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." And he urged him, bound 2 talents of silver into 2 bags. What did the man ask for? He asked for 1 talent. He was given how many? 2 talents. If there are 2 people, why are we wasting the time? Each one should have his. You want 2 garments? Okay, 2 garments. 1 suit. Amani. Yeah. "And laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bore them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, 'Whence comest thou, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Thy servant went no whither.'" I didn't go anywhere. I've been here all the time. What are you talking about? I've been here. And here the prophet of God. He says, "And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" What is he talking about? All the guy took was 2 bags. Oh, but the prophet could see him and he said, "I see you. You want oliveyards. You want servants. You want this and you want that. That's why you went out there. You don't want, you see, this is the pursuit of the things of the world. It causes many to be pierced. He says, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. For how long? Forever. For how long? How long? Forever. He went out from his presence, that the presence of Elisha, a leper as white as what? Snow. He went out a leper as white as snow. Now, that's that story. Please give me some extra time this morning because I want to wrap this thought up. The scriptures switch then and talk about how the Syrians came back and they besieged Samaria. And they placed siege on Samaria for such a long time until the people of Israel began to eat their own children. That's how bad it became. They were eating their children. They were eating every unclean thing. That it got so bad that one day the king was walking around and this woman began to cry. It says in chapter 6, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. Came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. This king just likes ripping his clothes off. He passed by upon the wall and the people looked and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Sackcloth was a sign of repentance. When you repented, that's what you put on, sackcloth. But it was underneath his proper garment. And do you know what? He blames the prophet for all the problems. He's going to kill Elisha. You're the problem. It is not that they are sinners. It's because of him. But in an indirect way, would you believe that Elisha was a problem? Because of a man, his servant called Gehazi, he cursed Gehazi. Gehazi is his servant. Gehazi is the one that is supposed to pass the torch off onto. That's supposed to run with it, just like Elijah passed the torch to him. He's supposed to pass this torch to Gehazi. And now he's cursed the future. And many times we do that to our children. We curse our children. We curse our children by the words that come out of our mouths upon their lives. Rather than blessing, we curse. Yeah, they were eating their children and say, oh, we won't do any such thing. Yes, when you are busy working 5 jobs and there's no time at all to speak into the life of the children have been eaten up. And the government is helping us. They've taken every single day that we have for rest and occupied it. The stores are open. Banks are even opening up. So when is the day? When can you go to church? When can you rest? No such thing. Because there's a siege on. And people are starving. Anyway, let me leave that alone. So here they are. The prophet of God again sends word. Don't worry. There's going to be lots of food by tomorrow. You're not going to have to kill your children anymore or look for food. You're going to have more than enough food. Things are going to be cheap tomorrow. You know, you're going to buy a loaf of bread. You know, if by this time, if you can find a loaf of bread, maybe it might cost you $1,000. But by tomorrow, hey, a loaf of bread is going to cost you 10 cents. Really, right. And the man who stood by the king said, even if he does that, it will not happen. God says, don't worry. I'm not going to have to open anything. You will see. You are going to see. But here are four lepers. They are outside. The prophet prophesies over there. They didn't hear the prophetic word, but they are outside. And all of a sudden, something started moving inside them. They said, why are we sitting down here like this? If we keep on staying here, we're going to die. We can't go into the city because those people, they are going to eat us up. They are eating children. Leprosy or no leprosy, they will cook us. And they are going to eat us. Let us stay here. But if we go over there to the Syrian camp, they might be merciful to us. It's ironic that they are thinking that the enemy will be more merciful to them than the people that should be taking care of them. That's the irony of life, that sometimes we will find more safety out in the world than inside the house. So they start heading towards the camp of the Syrians. But their little became much, because God began to amplify their steps. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. One step and it's the earth is shaking. Earthquake. And the people out there in the Syrian camp are saying, wait a minute. Hey. They've got to get help. They've gotten some mercenaries to come help them. The Egyptians are coming. The Libyans are coming. The Iraqis are coming. Everybody is coming. The Americans are coming. Let's go. Let's take off. So they take off. They run out of the camp. Left their clothes. Left everything. They were running like crazy people. Out. And the lepers got there. When they got there, they checked the first tent. Nobody. They looked all over the place. Nothing. So they started collecting stuff. And they took it. And they started burying them. And while they were burying the stuff that they took from those tents, it struck somebody's mind. This is what I was doing, digging and hiding stuff, and ended up a leper. I'm going to stop this now. We stop this now. Let's go to the king's household and tell them that the answer of all of their problems has now been provided. There is food for everybody. So they go. They tell them, and they don't believe it. No. But the prophet told you. No. They must be setting a trap for us. If we go out there, we'll come out of the city. They are going to just overtake us. They're going to ambush us. We've done this trick before, you know, and it worked. If we do it If we go out there, they're going to get us. So they sent forth some animals and some riders out, and they checked it out. They found out that it was okay, that the Syrians had actually left, and that victory had been wrought, even without them raising one finger. Hallelujah. The battle is the Lord's. So they go, and they collect all of this stuff. But a miracle also happened. God said to Elisha, this leprosy was going to be for how long? Forever. But would you know it? The Bible tells us that Gehazi shows up in another passage, leprosy free. Even though the Bible doesn't mention his name and his children's name, there is no other conclusion based on the story line that the lepers that God cleansed, these lepers that took the news to the household, was Gehazi and his children. God gave him a second chance. Amen? God did what? Gave him a second chance. And he gave him that second chance because he repented of how he used to operate. He was living for himself, what he can buy, what he can wear, what he can bank. And when he stopped that and he thought about the household of God, God says, now you don't have to be in that state anymore. Be cleansed. Gehazi got cleansed. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to read you that passage. But before I read you that passage, I tell you another story. This story is about a woman that had no children, and now was old. And she saw the man of God coming by her house, and she would stop the man of God and bless him. And one day she says, you know, rather than stopping him and giving him something, and then he continues, why don't I make place for him in my house? So they went through renovation and they created room for the prophet of God. They had a bed there, they had everything there. And so when the man of God came, he knew where to stop. He didn't have to wait for her to come out. He just walked because he had a room. Hallelujah. He had room. So the prophet of God was staying in this woman's house with her husband. And he says to his servant, what does she want? What does she want? Does she want me to talk to the king on her behalf? No. I don't need any such help. You see, when the prophet speaks, listen, are you hearing? When the prophet of God speaks and it doesn't seem to line up with what you think you need right now, don't discount it, because he sees beyond you. Amen? He sees beyond your present situation. If you are itching over here and the prophet starts scratching your head, don't worry. There's a reason why he's scratching your head. When he says, no, that's not what she needs. She doesn't have a child. Oh, is that all? By this time, at the season for you as a woman to have a child, you are going to have a child. Oh, don't be telling me such a thing. Don't be raising my hopes like that. You know, don't be doing that. I'm pregnant. It's pregnant. So what was that? That the woman throwing up. Hallelujah. So she's pregnant and she has a child. And one day, that child died. Now, everything I'm talking to you right now is a message by itself. I'm going somewhere. So, the child dies. The woman takes the child, places the child on the bed that she had prepared for the prophet, puts the child there, and goes out and looking for Elisha. And Elisha sees her coming and says to his servant, "What does she need? Is that not that woman?" He said, that's the woman. And the servant asks her, "Is there any problem?" And she says, "No, no problem at all." Don't ever, listen, principle, don't ever tell people your problem if they cannot help you. Huh? Don't yap your problems to everybody. Only say it to somebody that can stand in agreement with you and bring an answer to you. Because you tell somebody who doesn't know your problem, they will be crying over your problem rather than exercising faith to bring about a release for you. Amen? Let me leave that alone. So she gets to the prophet. The prophet comes to the house, lays over that child, and to cut a long story short, that child was brought back to life. Life was restored to the dead child. Amen? Now she gets word that she should leave town because there was a famine coming. So she leaves town. And when she left for a few years. Come with me to chapter 8, and this is how I'm going to conclude. The God of the second chance. He says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord had called for a famine." The Lord had what? God called for a famine. "And it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land." She's going to go to the king. That's what the prophet said. Does she need me to call the king for her? But how many of you know God is already thinking ahead of her? "And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God." That's the Gehazi that was all filled with leprosy. He's now whole. "Saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done." The king is asking. So he's testifying. Just then, it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." The word of God did not fall to the ground. When the prophet said, "What does she want? Does she want me to talk to the king on her behalf?" It was not wasted words. A prophet does not waste words. It may not make sense to you, but at the fullness of time, oh, that is what that meant. If it has been spoken, it shall come to pass. So, let me wrap it up this way for now. There was a famine. There was a siege. on all of Israel. Listen to this. Listen to this. What I'm about to say to you may not be politically correct. May not even sound morally correct based on your thinking and my thinking. But this is God. This is God and His Word and His plans and His purposes. Elisha with his big mouth has cursed somebody. I cannot stop or discount what he said. He said it. It's going to happen. It's my prophet. It's going to happen. And because of Gehazi, I told you it's not politically correct or even morally correct based on your thinking and my thinking. Because of Gehazi, God allowed a famine, a siege on Samaria. So that Gehazi can repent, so that Gehazi can bring about an answer, so that Gehazi and his family be redeemed, so that the word that he, the prophet, spoke and said, does she want me to talk to the king for her, can be fulfilled. There are problems that come into lives just because of God's plan for your life. Certain things happen. I can show you in the Bible so many situations. This just happens to be one of them, where things happen just because God has chosen you and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. If He said it, He will find a way to make it happen. If God said, David, you're going to have a son on the throne forever, and David and Solomon and Rehoboam and the rest of them messed it up, God says, I already said it. There's going to be a son of David on the throne forever. And God decides and makes himself a son of David. You getting me? God's word is permanent. If he said it, if he promised you, take it to CIBC. Take it to the bank. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. That means God will give you the second chance to make it happen. And if he's going to have to go to the third chance, he's not going to be a liar. I am not going to make God a liar. And you are not going to make God a liar. God's word will come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name. If you receive it, shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah.